Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Well, are you guys ready to be blessed continually? Well, we're going to turn this over to the youth. Where is Russell Sellers? There you are. Our pastor, our youth pastor, wonderful guy. He's about to age out of youth. Getting close, right?
57 in September.
57 in September. September's a good month.
It is a good month.
It really is.
17th and 28th. The 17th and the 28th.
Absolutely. You got it. But let's just pray for them and all. Pray for him and all the youth and that generation to be able to do things Amen. That will astound us. Amen. Would you just make that connection? In Jesus' name, Father, we come to you. We ask your blessings upon this man of God and the youth. And God, I just know that you're raising up boys and girls to be men and women, yes. to be warriors, and to be intercessors, to be teachers, to be evangelists, prophets, pastors and teachers. God, you can do, if you can change my life the way you changed mine, you can certainly change theirs. Amen. So we ask you to do it in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Get them. Amen. All right. All right, youth, don't leave me up here by myself. Okay. Just checking. About here. Come on up. Y'all are used to this by now. Every year, for the past 3 years, we go to the Forward Conference in Georgia. And every year after that, our pastor likes for us to come in and just kind of talk to you guys. Y'all can slide over that way. Kind of just have a seat, just relax, just pretend we're at the hotel in Georgia. Within reason, you know. But every year, our pastor likes for us to get up here and sort of recap what took place at Forward. It is, to me, by far one of the best youth conferences around. Jensen Franklin has one of the most, to me, trustworthy, solid, biblically based ministries. And so we don't just take our kids and your kids anywhere. You know, we're going to make sure that it's solid, that it's biblical, and that we're also going to have a good time. Amen? So what I want to do is just say thank you. You guys say thanks. So whether you, the children, whether you bought a barbecue butt or you won an auction to pie a pastor in the face, how many of y'all won those auctions? Did you enjoy that? And then how many of you participated in our first ever yard sale that we had? That was fun. I mean, just to be honest with you, Jonathan, did you have a good time with that? Jonathan kind of spearheaded that, put that thing together, but everybody worked in that. So all of that helped to put this conference and take this crowd to Georgia. We had 8 adults and 20 young people. Some of them couldn't be here today for family obligations, family reunions, you know, summer break, that kind of thing. But this is most of that group. And so we're gonna get you into our world for a little bit. We had to have some coffee just to make it through. And anyway, I want you to see this video of the Forward Conference 2019.
No one talks about heaven, talks about heaven anymore. Stories of the night and world.
chance to be a part of something that's bigger than myself. Going through a lot of stuff as a young teenager, young adult, it really helped me see the impact that God can have not only on my life, but in the lives of other people.
Everyone worshiping God, and it's just an awe just to see everyone's hands lifted and everybody worshiping the Father.
There's just something about it that I can't explain, but it just sends chills through my body, and there's something about it that wants me to, that makes me want to come back every single year.
Greatest generation. And you can't shrink back in intimidation and inferiority. You have got to say, I can do it.
This, y'all, is who we are. Do you know what our churches are built on? The power of the Holy Spirit. We believe it all.
If you feel like you don't have the strength to go on, sing it out. If you feel confused, today is your moment. Sing it out. There is a God that hears you. There is a God that cares. And there is a God that has come to your rescue today.
Sitting in an arena where you have 13,000 kids worshiping together and just literally being there with Jesus and just knowing that we are all covered, our sin is gone, our pain is gone, and we're just sitting in the presence of God in that moment, that's exactly what heaven looks like.
I can't wait, I can't wait.
Amen. We met earlier back here in the foyer Sunday school room, and we were talking. I was telling them, you know, as I put this video together and I was getting all the pictures together of this group, I noticed a common theme. Who said that? Yeah, my dog. Food. So apparently this group likes to eat, and we do. We enjoy hanging out together. And it was just an amazing, amazing conference. And like I said, we're going to let them share some. But I've got some things I want to share with you real quick first. Part of this year's theme for Forward Conference was Living Life in One Direction. And Nina, if you'll stand up and face that way. Let's let them see the back of your shirt. Okay, get your hair here. I don't have that problem anymore. But John 14:6, it says this. Jesus told him, he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me. No other way. You know, and Jeff Wells back here, I'm going to call him out. You know, he was looking at the back of the shirt, and it, you know, it says one way, period, one truth, period, one life, period. And I know he was joking. He said, you know, that's not accurate. That's offensive. And, you know, but I think a lot of us do read that, or in the world we'll see that kind of thing. When the Bible starts drawing definitive lines and says, no, there's just one way. We look at that, and even maybe when it hits some areas of our life, we go, oh, no, that's restrictive. I just don't like that feeling. Just you're telling me there's only one way, and it's Jesus, that there's one truth, and it's Jesus. And there's one life, and it's Jesus. Well, that restricts me. I don't like that. See, and that was our theme. We covered that scripture and stayed on it for what? Several weeks. easily. What'd you say, Jonathan? 2 months. Jonathan, that feels like it went on forever. But we see that as restrictive. Others of us look at it, though, you know, because we say, well, there has to be options. Surely there's more than one way I can get to the Father. I mean, it can't just be this Jesus thing and this Jesus guy. And we say it's restrictive. Another group of us, and this is how I used to look at it. It was like, whew, that's a relief. There's just one way, one truth, one life. You have given me a nice, neat and tidy little formula. And so if I just follow that, then I'll be a good Christian and I'll get to be with God in heaven and it'll be great. But see, the thing is, it's not meant to be a restriction. Neither is it meant to be a, that's all I got to do. If I just follow these little rules and regulations. It's meant to be a relationship. Amen? So what we learned, and at Forward, I think they'll remember, the first speaker came up and he talked about the Holy Spirit. And you think, oh, well, of course it's a Christian concert. But he got into the Trinity and how God is the Father, God is the Son, and God is the Holy Spirit. And that we can't enter into this kind of relationship where we understand that Jesus is first unless we have the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. So let me ask you guys, how many of you like coffee? Okay, awesome. Lynn. Oh, Amy, you got a cup? Lynn, can I get a cup, please? Thank you. God bless you, servant. So just hang out for a second. That's good. Okay. Amy, there's just not enough in here to share with you. Just hold on a minute. I'm sorry, Pastor, what'd you say? No, that's wrong. Are y'all having a problem with me just taking a little coffee break? That is not nasty. That is fruit. That you're going to learn in just a few minutes. That is a fruit smoothie. Did you know that for coffee to be its best, it's got to go through a 10-step process? I'm not going to go through all 10 steps because it's 11:30, and I want to get you out of here before 12 or 1 or 2. But the ripe coffee beans, do you know what they're called? Does anybody know? Cherries. Cherries are what? A fruit. They're red. That's true. Always one in the crowd. Ripe coffee beans or cherries must be picked, hulled, dried, or polished. Then they have to be exported to a group of people who judge them and taste them to verify their quality. Then they are roasted, and then they're ground. Then at that point, you and I walk into our local store. Where's Chayden? Chayden. Would you pretend to be a barista for just a second right here? He didn't even know I was going to do this. So we'll go in. You know, you'd be my little coffee barista person here, and I'm going to go in. So these coffee cherries have been picked, hulled, dried, polished, exported, tasted, roasted, and then ground. And then we walk into our coffee store of choice for a fruit smoothie. Hello, I would like a coffee today. Do you have coffee?
No.
Okay. Let's see if we can get any more out of there. Okay. Let's not spill it. I'll get in trouble. Okay, good. All right. Thank you, sir. Here's $10. Okay. Thank you, barista person. Thank you. All right. Give him a hand. So, see, the thing is, we will either go into our local coffee store or we'll take that, the polished cherries or the beans, and we'll go home and grind it ourselves, right? Well, then at that point, the liquid, you know, when Lynn does such a good job of making the coffee, that hot liquid goes through that process, and the liquid is filtered before that amazing fruit smoothie comes out the other side. Randy, I did not spill coffee on a mic, I promise you. And after that, you may choose to alter the taste of your liking. I know our pastor likes his coffee black. I prefer coffee-flavored French vanilla creamer. Okay? Just saying. Did you know that an espresso machine puts forth 132 pounds per square inch of pressure just to extract the coffee? 132 pounds per square inch. That is really pretty small. And you know, but that's how it ought to be as a Christian. We ought to allow our lives to be filtered through the Holy Spirit. And if you go back to that scripture, John 14, 6, it says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. So basically, Jesus is saying your life has got to be like coffee. It's got to be filtered and go through that. Because Amy was sharing earlier, we're talking back here, she said, though, the nasty part is when you get a cup full of grounds, just because it didn't quite brew right or the filter flopped over and then it did all this kind of mess. And that's kind of how it is, though. If we don't allow our lives to be filtered through Jesus and the Holy Spirit, then we're going to be a bitter taste to the world. And they're not going to want what we have. But if we allow Jesus and our life to filter through Jesus Christ, then you know what's going to happen? People are going to want what we have. What's different about you? What is going on with you? I don't understand that. You know, and if you choose this, then you'll be filtered and have the pressure put on you of about 132 pounds per square inch to extract the Jesus that is in us for a dying and hurting world that is really looking for a purer kind of love. Does that make sense? That makes sense? So let me just throw this phrase out there, because let's just put yourself in this example. You've probably said this phrase maybe once or twice. I just wish someone would do that. Because you know what? And then I would do this. So let me just pause and ask you, what would you really do? If they did whatever it is you said that they did, or I just wish they would give me the chance, and then you would do what? Really, what I know you're saying, deep in your spirit, you're saying, I would filter my words through the Holy Spirit, and I would exemplify Christ to that person who did me wrong. Right? Oh, nobody's raising their hand. Interesting. Give you a great example. I told this group, hey, if you get here early on Sunday morning, I will go get biscuits from Bojangles. Now, I had my Echo Student Ministry shirt on with John 14, 6 on the back. Called the order in. Hope nobody works at Bojangles. Called the order in an hour ahead of time. They said, great. That is perfect that you will have that ready for you when you get here. I said, I'll get there about 9:15. Most of them were showing up at 9:30. It was going to work great. And then I go into to Bojangles and paid for the biscuits. And then they said it's going to be about a 10-minute wait on biscuits. Okay, 9:15, 10 minutes, 9:25. I told the kids to be here at 9:30. Still got time. I can get back here in 5 minutes from Bojangles. Everything's good, right? At 9:35... I thought, you know, I should probably go ask. But inside, I'm going to be honest, my flesh was going, God, can y'all not do biscuits? What is wrong? It's Bojangles biscuits. It was not bow time. I'm going to be honest with you. I thought bow time is 9:15. Now, with a little bit of a shift, bow time became 9:25. Then all of a sudden at 9:35, and a friend of mine, I was in there and happened to see me. He asked, how's it going? I said, it's fine. It'll be all right. Anybody that knows me, I hate to be late. I mean, I'm just anal about it sometimes. You know, so here I am, told these kids to be here. And bottom line, I'm not going to have biscuits. So at 9:35, I went up. I said, look, how much longer is it going to be? And he turned around to the people in the back. Hey, how much longer on those biscuits for the call-in? And this is what I see come out of the back. I'm like, Echo Student Ministries, John 14, 6, one way, one truth, one life, no patience. And I'm like, man, this could not have happened at a more opportune time. And I told the youth, I said, told them the whole story. I said, this is a great opportunity to learn. It was a teachable moment for me. And so anyway, but I was very polite to the girl. I said, yeah, I know you guys are busy. I just can't wait any longer, so I need a refund. And she just gave me the refund, and I came back, you know, and I called Sean Blatt, and I said, hey, I'm coming back with no biscuits. What I wanted to tell the girl is, you're going to make me disappoint the children. But I didn't, but that's what I felt. Okay, so I had to filter what I felt before I spoke. Right? Because not, and again, I'm wearing a Christian youth group t-shirt, but we wear Jesus wherever we go. And yet, do we take the time, and I don't always, I'll be honest, take that time to filter our words or our behavior? We don't, you know? And we get offended at the world and say, well, why don't they get it? Well, because you didn't filter. Well, they didn't filter theirs. I mean, how, you know, let's get real. Well, they didn't do that. It doesn't matter what they did. It does not matter what they did. Because, you know, even our Lord filtered his words. Matthew 26, 36 to 39 says, Jesus led his disciples to an orchard called the oil press. He told them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter, James, and John with him. However, an intense feeling of great sorrow plunged his soul into deep sorrow and agony. And he said to them, my heart is overwhelmed and crushed with grief. It feels as though I'm dying. You ever felt like that? Now listen to this. Then he walked a short distance, overcome with grief. He threw himself face down on the ground and prayed, my Father, if there's any way you can deliver me from this suffering, please take it from me. Yet what I want is not important, for I only desire to fulfill your plan for me. Then an angel from heaven appeared to strengthen him. In verse 37, Jesus admits, this is a tough time. This is hard. Guys, you know, friends, my brothers, my disciples, I mean, he's talking to them and just getting real gut-level honest. And he says, I feel like I'm going to die here. Can you guys just hang out and pray with me? But then he comes on, and then he says, Jesus turns on his filter and lets his words come through the filter of the Holy Spirit and says, you know what? What I want is really not that important, Father. I'm going to filter my wants and make them line up with what your plan is, because I know that it's a better plan than what my flesh is feeling right now. So I'm willing. And that's what it comes to with these young people at a conference and studying John 14, 6. Well, yeah, Jesus is the way, truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We get that. We say it. But are we really understanding it? You know, and I love the part where it says, then an angel appeared to strengthen him. Did you catch when that was in the order? I feel like I'm dying. Then an angel appeared. No. You know what? What I want's really not that important. I want your will. Then an angel appeared. So until we are willing to let our lives be filtered, then we really don't have the right to expect help and comfort to come. Does that make sense? Because I want what I want, even if it doesn't line up with what God wants. Well, no, it doesn't work that way. Jesus allowed Peter to be filtered, but prayed for him, which I think is beautiful. Luke 20, verses 31 through 32 says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift, or what? Filter. Each of you like wheat, but I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you've repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers. So what we have to learn is applying what we have heard to ourselves before we start broadcasting it to others. Well, I've heard that in church, and I know that's true, but man, I just wish they would filter their life. I mean, good night. What's wrong with them? You know, I got it together here. Psalm 139, 23 through 24 says, you know, God, I invite your searching gaze into my heart. I love the way the Passion Translation puts this. Examine me through and through. Find out everything that may be hidden within me. Put me to the test and what? Sift through all of my anxious areas. So see, we can take those anxious areas, those troubling areas, those temptation areas, and let them be sifted, let them be filtered. And then we will have the angel appear or the Holy Spirit, and we'll have the strength to deal with it. But Jesus has got to come first. So I'm going to let some of the young people, I'll say kids because they're younger than I am. Of course, most of the people up here are. Thanks for pointing that out, Pastor. So who would like to start this? And just so you, if you haven't seen us do this before after a Forward conference, this looks like Saturday night at the hotel. It's the last night of the conference, and we will find either a conference room or a corner in a hallway that the hotel lets us use, and we'll just kind of sit and talk for an hour. Hey, what did you learn? What did you see? What did God do for you? Because we learned about what it is to put God first. Doesn't mean they're going to do it all the time, and it doesn't mean that you're going to. But we've got to learn to come back to that filter and let that process with the pressure take place. Amen? All right, there we go. Who's going to start? Man, they're so eager. All right, Jessica. You can sit right there. This, again, we're just hanging out in the hotel, right?
So one thing that I think that's amazing about going to Ford Conference is so many people in the older generation always tell people our age that our generation is going to be like the end of the world because we're so awful. And sometimes the flesh side of you just like starts to believe that, because it's like sometimes it's like the flesh is going, I cannot stand some people my age. And then there's the other side that's like, no, they're going through something, because I've gone through hardships, but not like some people my age have. And so I have to think about that part too. And that's the spiritual side of it, having to see that they go through things that I can't really understand except for understanding it through what God lets me understand.
Right.
And so it's awesome to go to Ford Conference and have all the speakers sit there and tell us 13,000 kids that our generation is going to redig the wells, which is one of the sermons, which is talking about redigging up what we have, what other generations have covered up about the Bible, because the Bible doesn't change for us, and that we have to change to do what the Bible says, because that's God's word. So awesome. That's pretty awesome.
And Jessica, yeah, go ahead. Put you on the spot. You shared a little bit at the hotel about what God did specifically for you one night. Do you feel comfortable sharing that?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
So it was one of the last nights at Ford. I think it was maybe the last night at Ford. Okay. And Hillsong Worship was there, and they were doing, I can't remember what song it was really, but it was like all of a sudden there was like, it was almost like a weight, but not like a bad kind of weight, a weight that lifted like all the other weights off. And I don't remember much of it. I just remember like being down on my knees and praying things, like probably words that aren't normally in my vocabulary. And so it's like really awesome to feel that, because you know it's there and you've always been told it's there. You experience some a little bit, and then, but to experience that much at one time is awesome.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you. All right, who's next? Adult or student? Here, you can hang on to that one. Here, Nathan. Nathan's like, no, not me.
She said Jessica's mom, and that's why I smacked her. When you go to Ford and you see so many young people hungry, you realize where you fall short as an adult. But also, after coming back to Ford, this is not Ford, this is something else right quick. I got to share this. It's really laying heavy, so it must be needed to be shared. I spoke with a young lady who was telling me, well, how do you know it's just Jesus? How can, you know, when there's this and this and this, how can you know? And I told her, I said, okay, if you don't believe in him, but if you take a step, just pray, say, God, show yourself to me. And what do you have to lose? And she said, well, religion. I said, well, there's where you need to pause just a second. I said, there's been so much push on religion that's man-made. So you need to understand that's not religion. That is your relationship. Ask God to introduce himself to you If you're looking right now, if you're out there and you're looking and saying, I don't understand, I can't do this religious thing, I'm not saying go after a religious thing. I'm saying go after Jesus.
Right.
But ask him. Say, show me that you're real. He's a good God. He will show you that he's real. But watching these young people, I'm going to share this one thing, and I'll try to be quiet. They know I can't be quiet. But my niece Kayla went, and their church believes in the Holy Spirit, but you don't never necessarily really, this is her words, experience that way there. And there's a young man praying, and y'all are saying, well, this is a young girl, she might not need to think about this yet, but yes, I want my children to think this way. She reached down to pray with him, put her hand on him, and the Holy Spirit, the amount of Holy Spirit that was coming through, it was like you talk about spirit noticing spirit, being able to realize that Holy Spirit, that cry within that young man. And really, he was not praying. He was worshiping, to the point that she said, when she got back to her mom, Mom, I want to marry somebody who has that. Mm-hmm. So in a generation that you can go out and it's like every time you turn around, you're seeing, I apologize, youth, but you're seeing a different boyfriend with this girl, or you're seeing a different girlfriend with this guy, and it's not seeking something for a relationship, which one of them talked about. You're thinking it's okay to be free with this person. I don't know if there's kids in here, so I'm not going to get blunt as they did there, but your relationship are affected by what your past is, no matter how much you don't want it to be. God can set you free, but those things still affect you.
Right.
So when you're looking at somebody and you're thinking, I want something, there's nothing that can fill that spot like Jesus can. And you want somebody that has that same hunger and that same relation with Jesus. And going there, you just see so many amazing things. And since you pointed at me here. Yeah, I'm sure.
Okay. So Ford Conference is always great. It's good, like Jessica said, to go and to be in with everybody there, the preachers and the teachers and everyone that believes in you, the 13,000 other youth that are there in the same spot. But with that comes a lot of pain, a lot of different backstories in the room. So we had a speaker, Dawn Cherie. She was wonderful, great. I suggest everybody look her up. She was amazing. But she talked about strength. And there's several occasions in the Bible that they talk about God as my strength and my song, and she related it to music, which a lot of us relate to, I feel. And she said, God is always there, and we know that. We're taught that, but he's not a forceful God. We have the power to choose what we want to receive, what we want to bring into our lives. And she talked about him being our strength, but we ask him, we say, God, come, but he's already here. We have to say, God, I open up. God, I am willing to accept, because he's already there with his hand out, but just like he can knock at the door, but if you don't ever open it, you're not going to receive whatever's at your door. So she talked about it's on us to open up and say, God, you are my strength and my song, and I accept that. And I just think that she talked about her own personal story. She had several miscarriages, and she was like, I did not have to have something that I did not have the strength to do. I could not make me have children, and I couldn't fix that. And she talked about how painful it was, and I'm sure everybody has their own story of something that they're not strong enough to do on their own. But she was like, when we open up and admit that, God, you are my strength and my song, and I welcome that, and ask him to show and be open to that, that's when we see those results. That's when we see what he has to give to us. So
yeah.
Good. And she's pregnant, and she has a baby, and she is pregnant again, so she obviously had some strength with her.
Awesome. Who's next? All those guys back there.
Friends and family. I want to know how many of you cringed when you heard the number 13,000 teenagers. I'm just curious. Was it just me? Because when he told me there's going to be that many of them. I want to back up to announcements for a second to pull all this together. There's an opportunity to serve. I don't know what section is it, kids, church, something back there. There's an opportunity to serve in the nursery. I ran from my calling for, I don't know, 12, 15 years, youth ministry. When God called me, I said, you're crazy, me. Youth ministry? I said, no, I'm going to sing. So I took off on the road, and I sung gospel music, quartet, stuff like that. Well, God let me go for a while, and he said, now, I want you to do this. You going to do it? I was like, yes, sir. So I got back into it. And the reason I say all that, you have an opportunity to serve, serve. Don't wait. I lost 12 years of rewards such as this that I didn't get to experience. I didn't get to be a part of. This is a blessing. I don't care if it's just two sitting up here. If you have an opportunity to be a part of youth or the old fellers, you know, take that opportunity. I don't know how many of you know this, but he was my youth pastor. Back in 19 and...
Yeah, yeah. In the 20th century.
So, Sorry, do you not want me to bring that up?
No, you go right ahead.
So we've been together a while. Mm-hmm. We were coming home one time from Raleigh, and we came back by the church it all started at, where Russell's dad, now Russell's dad was the first person that I can remember that planted a seed in my life. That man holds a special part in my heart, and I think mine and Russell's dad's both were in the same room at hospice when we went home to be with the Lord. Mm-hmm. So it's really neat, the relationship. But guys, don't miss an opportunity to serve and be a part.
Amen.
I've never been to Ford before. We're supposed to be talking about the conference. Most youth camps I've been to, I normally did it myself with a small group at a house, Fairfield Mountain. And sometimes we went to a little bit bigger one, but we walked in the auditorium. I'm like, what in the world am I doing here? So all these kids. But my favorite part, you know, a lot of times when a worship leader's leading, he'll tell you to raise your hand, and everybody's hands go up, everybody's. But my favorite times is when we're singing the songs, and I'm looking around this huge auditorium, and nobody said, put your hands up, and I see kids everywhere with their hands up. That's worship.
Yeah.
That's worship. And it just filled that. I don't know if you've seen, you've seen pictures up there. It just filled that room. It just warms your heart. So anyway, I'll hush.
Yeah, we'll take it away from you, though. anybody else? Yes, the whole age thing. Yeah, I've known Sean since he was 5. So it's not like, you know, we're that far apart. And you know, we're 10 years different. So, you know, but yes, I was his youth pastor. You were about my height. Anybody else got anything? Anybody?
Just really quick off Sean, I can talk.
I know you can, believe me.
Just really quick off Sean, and it kind of ties to Jessica's as well. He talked, Pastor Jensen is wonderful, and he did share the lesson on digging a well. And that's how that starts, being in children's ministry. You can share what you were taught, because that came from Genesis when... Isaac went back and he was like, I want to follow in my father's footsteps. I want to, you know, do what he did for the people. And God took him back to the well that Abraham had dug. And he was like, this well, that well was blessed. It had, we sung today about a well that won't run dry. And it was talking about the Lord, of course, but this was a physical well. And he was like, this well was blessed. This well was supposed to, like, provide for the nations, and the Philistines, as soon as Abraham died, the Philistines covered that up and they took away that provision. So digging the well was uncovering that, taking back what somebody stole, and being able to pass that down, like Jessica said, not to kind of sugarcoat stuff for this generation and to teach what you were taught, and so that we can keep that well running afterwards. So it's very, very important that they start really young and get to know that stuff really young. You can plant what water flew through you and could be passed down. So that's important to tie those in.
And I'm just pulling that up during the notes when Jensen Franklin, he said, here are three wells that must be redug in this generation. Number one is worship. And it's reclaiming that well. It's not, and what I loved about what he said, it's not calling it something different. In other words, Isaac did not go rename it something different than what it was. So he kept the name. One was worship, one was sacrifice. And he said, you know, many Christians have sacrificed their sacrifice. And then the well of faith. So worship, sacrifice, and faith. Faith equals risk. And it's scary to step out in faith. But we've got to be willing to do that. And again, we will become willing to do that when we allow our lives to be filtered through the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, and not try to continue to find our own way to do our own thing and then expect God to bless it. Amen? Anybody else? Go, Jay.
Mine kind of relates to her first one. But I can't remember which night it was or who the speaker was. But he was talking about he went somewhere to get his wife something to eat when she was pregnant. And they had already called everything in. He was waiting in line for about an hour. And then he looks over to the other side, and he looks up, and there was a sign for pickups. And that, and that's how it is today with God. A lot of people think, why can't you come to me, God? I'm waiting here, but really, you're waiting in the wrong area, doing the wrong thing.
That's good. Good word. Anybody else? Okay.
This goes into what Chris was saying. I had a really rocky road with the idea of God for a very long time, but the main person that planted a seed in me was my dad. When I was doing a bunch of crazy, stupid stuff, he always encouraged me and, like, never once downed me. He was like, I love you. Always just, like, loving me and accepting me. And years later, like, now all I want is God. And, like, people that knew me back then would never think I'd be here now. Like, I was totally different. And it's important not to give up on people. Like, a little thing you did, like, 10 years ago will go such a long way in 15 years. Like, it's crazy how much of an impact that puts in people. Just, yeah, that was it.
That's good. Okay. That's good. Yeah. What I do want to do is just leave enough time, if these guys are willing, to pray over you. We have done that every year, and it's a stretch for some of them. But what I have seen happen when adults come and allow young people to pray over them, that there is an impartation that takes place. And it's not just their youth and their energy, because that's what keeps me going. You know, I tell people that, yes, I'm still doing youth ministry. It will either make you grow old or keep you young. And I'm praying that it'll keep me young. But I do. I think it's critical, really, in this type of service for them to pray over you. because there already is so much division between the generations. And I've probably never seen it as much as I've seen it in this generation, that there is such a division. We see it racially, you know, with genders, and we see it generation with generation, old folks and young folks. So, Charlie, can you come just play something for us, whatever you feel led to do? And guys, if you'll just kind of line up down here, and we're going to just kind of open the altar up as Charlie starts praying. Number one, if you have never allowed Jesus to be number one, then I want to give you that opportunity to do so. I trust these guys. I trust these young people. And so if you feel comfortable, just come walk up to one of them and say, hey, I need prayer for whatever it might be. They can pray. These guys can pray. So don't let me just get rid of the thought that I already hear in some minds, well, they're just kids. No, they are part of God's plan for this generation. They are part of God's plan for this church, for the body of Christ. And they can play a part in the next step that God wants you to take. If you're willing to say, man, you know what? I'm going to go let a teenager pray over me. I'm going to do that right now. So the altar's open. You just come find one of them and they'll pray. It just might be a very simple one word or two word prayer. But just let them pray for you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. We're going to go. I got to share a word for this group. I want all of you to be on this side. Just all the youth come over on this side. Okay, are we here? Okay, Pastor Charlie, it's fine. Miss B, come on up here a second. I'd like for all of you to get right here on this carpet. On the carpet. Your job, come over here, baby. Your job is to get from where you currently are to the future that God has for you. But you got to cross over some hard surfaces, some hard places to be able to get there. This hard place, this hard surface is not impossible. It's just an obstacle designed by the enemy to keep you at bay so you can stay where you are and not go further. That's not for you. That's not for any of you. You're crossing over. Amen. You are the crossover gang. Yes. But you're gonna need something to get there. You ready? You're gonna need truth. Miss B represents the truth. You're going to need truth to be able to get there. The reason I picked Miss B is because with Miss B, you never wonder about what she's trying to say. How many of you know, shake your head this way if you know. You never wonder what she's trying to say. She's going to say it. But she's going to say it because she loves you. You're going to need truth. You're going to need the truth of Miss B and others that... But you have to seek them out. You with me? Y'all hearing me? You have to seek truth out, and then you're gonna have to have the stability of a Pastor John. There's people that you see that look very stable to you, and that you've studied their life and you've seen them. And their example is pretty solid. You got to seek them out. Ask them questions. Y'all hearing me? You're the crossover bunch. You're not going to go over without truth. You're not going to go over without stability, because stability would keep you going forward even though it's hard right in the middle of it. And then you're going to need passion. You're going to have to have somebody like a Terry Wilson that will go through the very difficult times, but he's passionate about what he's put here to do, and he does it. He stays the course. He's passionate about taking this journey. You're going to have to find the passion in others and ask them, what made you so passionate about what you're doing? And then learn from them. Joshua never, and the other one, I'm going to use myself, but not because of that, but I just forgot to call everybody up, is wisdom. You got to have the wisdom of the aged ones. Joshua never crossed over without the wisdom of Moses and without the passion of Caleb. Caleb was one of them. He was way up, way, I think he's in his 80s or something like that. And he's telling Joshua, who's a young guy, and he says, I want that mountain. That one's mine, and that's the one I want. So you have to awaken the passion, hang next to the wisdom, get into the truth and the stability to be able to cross over. So here's the thing with you guys. Where is your commitment? Am I going to seek this out? Are you going to seek this out that's in front of you? Or do you say, I'm going to go my own way? If you go your own way, you will not make it to the other side. I didn't make it to the other side without the truth from people, the stability of other people, the passion and the wisdom from other people sowing into my life. But you got to have an ear to hear it. Once you do that, you'll be able to cross right over. So are you the crossover gang or not? Are you the crossover gang or not? Well, then you go right across and you shake hands with these three or these four and you say, I'm all in. Come on. I'm all in. I'm telling you, this is the Lord. The Lord gave this to me right sitting right there. I'm all in. Amen. All right. Stephen. Lyric. Come on. So you're what, 14? 15, 16, 17, 18. It's for you too. Come on. This is for you too, young man. I'm telling you. Now, you look, you're this age, right? Come on. Come on over. Any other young person here? Come on. Tell them, come on. You can do it. You're part of this group. Come on. You're a crossing over. You're a crossover bunch. Come on. Any more? Come on up here. Everybody say, come on. Come on. You can do it. You can do it. All right. Stand to your feet. Whoop. Look here. Got more coming out of the woodwork. Come on. Anybody else? All right, Mike, let's do this. We're about to leave, but let's do this. Maybe you're not a Ute, but you hadn't crossed over yet. Now is your crossing over time, so come on, whoever it is. I've been wasting my time. You know, what you heard? Come on over. All right. Oh, I love it when God puts a plan together. Amen. All right, let's give them this encouragement. Matter of fact, there's lots more wisdom, stability, and truth, and passion that is in this congregation. It's just not these three. I just know that these three have what we talked about. But it's you too. You are the catalyst for these guys and girls to be able to be planted in the destiny, firmly rooted into the God's plan for their life. You're the fertilizer. We are. We're going to fertilize these kids so much. I'm telling you, they're going to grow like oaks of righteousness. They won't do the things that we did. They'll go beyond the things that we did. But they won't leave us. They'll take us with them. I feel like preaching, and it's 23 minutes after 12. All right, let's do this. Let's do this, and we'll go home. You ready? And by the way, this will be our dismissal. But if you're interested in ministering to people in the prison, we're looking for about 20 people to go and be part of that Thursday night once a quarter, to be part of that group that goes and just loves on them and just ministers to them, okay? Reverend Doug, not Doug, but Mike Duncan. D, it was a D. Duncan, I got it. But you meet with him if you're interested in doing that. Here's our dismissal. You ready? All right, four words. You can do it. We're going to release that with a shout to these guys. You guys ready to receive it? Hold your hands up. Get ready to receive it. All right, let's release it on the count of three. I mean, shout it out. This is your shout. You can do it. It's not an if, not an and, or a but. You can do it. All right, you ready? One, two, three.
You can do it.
All right, God bless you, you guys.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.